verse 119, verse 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. In my view, there is no reason to doubt that David wrote Psalm 119, and therefore that the I in verse 176 and others refers to David. At first glance, when you look at this wonderful psalm, which we can't read, of course, in its entirety just now, but if you give it a read when you get home, think about all the wonderful, wonderful things it speaks about. Many commentators have called it the greatest psalm, the loveliest psalm, the gold of golden psalms. And how does it end? This man who could write these most wonderful things says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Of course, we know that David went astray, and yet the Lord blessed him with a great understanding of his word. So first of all, believers, however good they are, and the best of men is but man at best, but however much the Lord has instructed us, however much we have enjoyed his word, however we have been able to put it into practice, when all is said and done, we have to say to the Lord and to one another, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. It would not be appropriate for an experienced Christian either to be complacent or to be proud, as if any of it was due to him or herself. And this psalm is a most wonderful reminder. Is that what you expected to end with? If you didn't know the psalm and you'd got as far as verse 175, would you think that 176 was going to follow? I've gone astray. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. Experienced Christians will feel that in their hearts. They will feel probably at the end of every day that they want to say to the Lord, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. I've gone astray. I've done my own things. I put my own things first. I put my pleasures, my pastimes, my family commitments, my studies first. Of course, that leads you to think, all these things are given to us for our help so that we get through life, pleasures, pastimes, as well as our life commitments and our work. But we have to learn that these are not the be-all and end-all. The person of the Saviour, the atonement that he wrought for us, his life within us, is what should occupy us deep down. But nevertheless, other things do intrude into our mind. I've gone astray. I've got it wrong. I didn't get the balance right. How often do we need to say that to the Lord? And how often do we want to hear the Lord say to us, I'm coming. You may have got it wrong, but I'm coming. And I will show you what you ought to have done. I will show you how it is that you should have gone about these things. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. If he doesn't seek us, how shall we get right? If he doesn't seek us, how shall our dull minds be restored? Seek thy servant. And of course, being sought for as sinners, though ransomed sinners, being sought for by the Saviour makes us understand how much we matter to him. If we've gone wrong, instead of leaving us, letting us get on with it, or instead of berating us, he seeks us and desires to instruct us from his own holy word, himself instructing and tutoring us. That does wonders for our soul, wonders for our desire to keep living and to keep serving him. So first, the believer, the experienced believer, may and should say, I've gone astray like lost sheep. You mustn't add to scripture. I'm tempted to say, I've gone astray once again like a lost sheep. Now, the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 53, which we're going to think about, takes up these words of the psalmist. David, if it was David, who I think every reason to believe that David wrote this psalm, it would be about 1000 BC. When Isaiah prophesied, it was about 720, 730 BC. So that's 270 years after. The first word was, I have gone astray like a lost sheep, speaking to believers. And for over 200 years, that had been currency among Bible believers. And the Spirit then speaks to Isaiah through those words, which he incorporates in the scripture which speaks most beforehand about the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Spirit, through Isaiah, has given a different emphasis. Whereas in the psalm, and it's still possible here, it was the believer that was in mind. But at this point, the emphasis shifts to the unbeliever, the one who is not converted, and is identified with him. All we, when we were unbelievers, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Sheep, of course, follow their noses. Sheep nibble a bit of grass they can find. They don't know where they're going. They just nibble the next bit of grass, and then the bit of grass after that, and so on. And sometimes they get lost and they get far away from their good shepherd. Like sheep, we have gone astray. What does that mean? It means we have turned everyone to his own way. By nature, we didn't think of God. Or by nature, we had wrong views of God. Or by nature, we thought we were all right. And how did that express itself? We turned everyone to his own way. The time before we're converted is taken up either doing things that we want to do, or if we are doing things that we're commanded to do, like going to school. So all we like sheep have gone astray. And that means that we have turned to the things that we like doing. There were lots of things I liked doing when I was young, before I was a Christian. And those things provided layer after layer after layer of a barrier between God and myself. Because those things took up my mental interest, if it was comics. Those things took up my time, if it was trains. Those things took up my time, if it was doing a paper round to earn. But each one of us followed our own pathway. The things which by nature were ours. Now, when Adam sinned, his particular sin was not the same sin as Eve. And both Adam and Eve were cursed, and we have received in our DNA the same propensity to sin. That's what can't be allowed in heaven again. But the sins that we commit are not identical. We will sin in whatsoever situation we are, whatsoever gifts we have, we will be clever devils. However we are made, the things that interested us, things that are at the core of our beings, even the friendships we make, we will follow our nose. And that will be not in the direction of the Good Shepherd. It will be away from him. Now, it's put differently in Isaiah 53 because it's thinking primarily of unbelievers. But in Psalm 176, the believer says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep, seek thy servant. It's not what he said here, though it's meant. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That is the nature of the servant. Sorry, that is the nature of the Good Shepherd seeking us. Our sins, our iniquities were laid on him. If he sought us so that we became Christians, and though we still go astray, and we say, Lord, seek thy servant, it's still the same thing in essence, that it was his blood that was shed, that it was his life that was given, his body that was broken, that saves us. He turned everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Throughout this chapter, for example, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. The Father is shown to be, if you like, the responsible, the initiating person. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. But he was an obedient son. He agreed from the beginning that he would become a human being, fully God, fully man. But the Lord took the initiative. The Lord elected some. The Lord chose those he was to die for. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. By us, then, is meant the chosen people of God before they're saved. 176 of the Psalm. 119 means after they're saved. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turned everyone to his own way. Now, if that's your situation, if you were an unbeliever, if you've never been interested in following God or sought the Lord, think of your sin. Think of the things that you've done. One of the boys who comes regularly to Monday Club took the Lord's name in vain. In the week we heard him said to his brother, "For God's sake, shut up." And that is a sin against one of the Ten Commandments. It's a major sin. Without repentance, there's no heaven for you. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. How many times we did that or broke other commandments before the Lord put out his arm to welcome us? Who knows? But the Lord laid on Christ the iniquity of us all. We owe everything to him. We didn't stand a chance. We'd sinned so often. I used to go after trains till I became a Christian. Every Sunday I went going round the sheds of the engines in London. So, pretty well, 52 times every year, I blatantly disobeyed the direct commandment of the Lord concerning things which must never be done. Don't I need a saviour? Don't I need someone who shall bear the iniquity of my sin? Because I couldn't bear it. Words wouldn't be strong enough. Only an eternity in hell, unending, could make reparation for sin against an eternal God. The Lord laid on the Lord Jesus Christ the iniquity of us all. How we need his shed blood. How we need his atoning blood. How we need his righteousness to be counted to us. How we need him as our substitute. We need him now. We need him before we're saved. We need him at the moment of salvation. And we need him constantly after that. All we, there is no exception, like sheep have gone astray. We turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. I owe everything to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can mostly say the same. Without him, an eternity of wrath, of enduring the curse of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. But I wanted to just look at it from a slightly different way, from the parable of the Lord Jesus in Luke 15. Something that hasn't entered into our thinking so far. Jesus spoke this parable unto them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing." Rejoicing is the key. See, we thought of the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's wonderful, because we were in a terrible situation. But pick up the theme of rejoicing, because probably Christians don't rejoice enough. So we were lost. The shepherd sought us by bearing our sins. The gospel was preached to our hearts. And once we were found, it was all joy, joy to him. Now, he doesn't speak of the sheep. He speaks of the shepherd. But doubtless the sheep on his shoulders felt secure. But what man of you does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost till he find it? And when he's found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. We go to the continent, you can see people walking to market with sheep round their shoulders. But he finds it and he rejoices. I discovered something when I was young. I suppose you've all discovered it too. If I did something was wrong and I came home, I was in terrible trouble. If I was gone long enough so that Mum thought something had happened to me, it would be the opposite. All kisses, hugs and whatever. I suppose I played on that. But it is true that the shepherd seeks that which is lost and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." We, like sheep, have gone astray. He rejoiced. He gets his neighbours to rejoice. And the whole thing is an illustration of heaven rejoicing. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that is lost. Oh no. Joy is in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. And there are over 99 just persons which need no repentance. So they say, heaven rejoices. Heaven rejoices because Christ rejoices. And what does heaven rejoice over? What does Christ rejoice over? Well, our initial salvation. We were the elect who were lost. But ever since that, it's been all rejoicing in heaven. The chief shepherd has rejoiced over us constantly. Heaven rejoices over us constantly. Should we not rejoice? We've gone astray. We're not very good in ourselves. There is no goodness. But every one of our sins is laid on the Lord Jesus Christ, that there may be joy in our hearts as well as the shepherd's hearts. Well, may the Lord bless us, because we do go astray even now. Amen.
Amen.